It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. Mayo are out of Division 1. We had to do a quick bit of checking. Ger Flanagan, welcome along.
Thanks a million, Rob.
Yeah, oh, it's great. A long time.
It is a long time, 96, 97.
You remember it well.
I remember it well. I was 3 years old at the time. Yeah, I remember being devastated that the leagues were being restructured and all that. But yeah, a bit weird, you know. Having to go to places now like Down next year, Cork potentially, down to Clare.
Portlaoise. Where else? I got a few others. Oh, Newbridge.
A lot of uncharted territory. Some not.
Yeah.
But, you know, going by just the day and the game, I think Tyrone deserved it. Three soft goals. It's weird as well because it just seems just a different league than what we played originally at the start of the year.
And let's be honest, to take a cliche out of the bag, we didn't get relegated in the last 2 weeks. We got relegated in the first five rounds.
Exactly. Mayo played well. You know, they played well in parts today. Like, there was a passage there in the first half where the game potentially almost ran away from Mayo. And I thought dominated the game for the large part of the second half, only for the lapse for the goal. A poor kick out from Dave Clark. Other than that, you know, the football wasn't too bad. Racked up a good score again, obviously conceded quite a lot. But, you know, I think over the space of the last two games, they were quite good. But, you know, think back to the earlier stages of the league, a different world that we were living in. You know, they were quite poor. So it's, yeah, bizarre.
Speaking of a different world, there are three crows just jumping around the seats looking for leftovers, and they must be confused because, I mean, there's just been a big match in McHale Park. How is there no food?
They're also going to be disappointed, Rob, because they're picking around an area where there were about 12 working journalists for the last 3 hours, and I can guarantee you there are no leftovers when it comes to journalists and their eating habits. But I was just thinking there, I do remember when Mayo were out of Division 1. In fact, I remember when Mayo were in Division 3. I remember working at a Mayo Kilkenny game in the early 1990s. Ooh. On the Kilkenny-Leash border. So I can remember, unfortunately, back as far as the bad old days.
We won that one, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did. And it was one of the steps on the road out of Division 3 and 2 and into 1. But yeah, you have to go back to 1997, I think, for the last time we weren't playing in the top flight of league football. It was the longest running, unbroken stay in Division 1. That won't come as a major surprise to anybody. It was an incredible record. It had to come to an end at some stage. And I suppose we'll try and take some solace from the fact the day it comes to an end, Mayo score 119. They lose by a point. They go down swinging. I mean, they easily could have folded in the early stages of the second half when Tyrone scored the third goal, but they didn't. But this is a reality check. This is a reality check, I think, for Mayo supporters and for some of the young players as well, who they really found out today what life at the elite level of intercounty, senior intercounty football is like. And I heard it said once or twice around me earlier in the day, if you're a fraction off at that level, if you're just not at the pitch or the pace of the game, you get punished. And Mayo just weren't at the pitch of the game in the first half and at stages in the second half. When they were good, they were very good, but there were times today when Mayo just weren't able to live with Tyrone. And Tyrone reminded us they're a very, very good team when they do what they're good at. And make no mistake, they and Donegal will be some battle next Sunday. But if there were people here, particularly Mayo people today, they'd be very disappointed. Going by my WhatsApp, they're at home and they're just as disappointed because after the Galway win last weekend, there was so much feel-good enthusiasm around the team. The championship was on the horizon. This, as I said, is a reality check.
Stephen Rochford and John Casey coming up next. Stephen and John were both working with Mike here. It was an all-Mayo team on the BBC coverage of this game. And we'll get some really interesting insight there. We're going to hear a teeny bit of in-match stuff from myself and Ger, just to kind of set the scene for our chat at the end of the podcast. And we're going to hear from James Horan, who was talking to the media, including Ger. So let's get all this in order for you. First up, let's get some initial reaction from John Casey and Stephen Rochford. Of course, Stephen, looking ahead to the Donegal match next week as well. A moment just to review the league as a whole right now, and John Casey and Stephen Rochford are with us. Welcome back to the podcast, Stephen.
Thanks, Rob.
Good that football is continuing right now. You're all disappointed with yesterday, I presume, against Kerry, but looking forward to taking on these Tyrone boys now.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously from a league, in a league context, getting the security of Division 1 for next year was was done last week, so it was more a case of filling the fixture, getting a couple of boys that hadn't had much game time in the last couple of weeks, some of that yesterday, and thankfully all bodies got home safe and sound and in one piece.
They most certainly did, and they will have watched this on telly. John Casey first, then to Stephen, and Tyrone will be one of the teams getting the headlines this week because they've come to Mayo and they've survived, and that's not easy to do.
Unbelievable. They've a great record here, in fairness.
Yeah.
And I think after the highs of last week in June, and I suppose the expectancy level shot through the roof again to watch this flamboyant football played last week, and but you knew the likes of players that stood up last week, we were going to see what they were really capable of when they come up against Hugh Pat McGarry and Kieran McGarry and Michael McKiernan and these fellas, and certainly it wasn't the result we expected. But you know, it's 92, it's been well flagged and well documented, 1992 the last time Tyrone lost a competitive match here, which is unreal. And going back through the games, 2018 they gave us a right trimming here, and even in 2015 when they got relegated, Rob, they only won one league game that year, and that happened to be here against us. So it was no surprise that they were going to come. They weren't going to come and lie down. Like, we wanted to know the big question that all us Mayo folk, we wanted to know what sort of mind frame they'd be in coming here with the match against Donegal next week. Would they want to come and rest people, or maybe not come all guns blazing? Well, we got an emphatic answer, and we got it in the first half. They were real intent on staying, and I think Mickey Hart, as Roch is after alluding to there, you want to play Division 1 football. Everyone feels if you're not playing in Division 1, you're not going to win silverware. You're not competing against the best. Your team are not going to progress. And unfortunately, for the first time in 24 years, next year Mayo are going to be playing their trade in Division 2.
Whoa, when you put it like that, it's a real jarring kind of blow to Mayo after a fantastic performance last week, Stephen, because I was going to steer it towards Donegal a little bit on what Tyrone, and we will do that in a second, but you know, it's a big disappointment for Mayo.
Yeah, the final result, it was a league final in some ways, but there was a lot, I would take a lot out of what Mayo were about in that second half. I think, you know, when the third Tyrone goal came in, you could have lifted the tent and sort of say, right, okay, we're going to be Division 2, but they didn't. They stayed right in it. Thought the likes of Ryan O'Donoghue came off. Thought Tommy Conroy was really, really good. I think he's really impressed me throughout the games I've seen him in the league this year. I thought Owen McLaughlin showed real signs of cut about him. Another Westport hard runner from a half back line, and you know, and the there will be others as well. And you look, I know, you know, typically I've been at the end of this. You know, we seesaw with emotions from one performance of the week to another, and I think that's as much to do with the quality of teams that are in Division 1. That, like, if you're not just at it, and Mayo weren't at it in Division in the first half, I think that it's the first half that'll disappoint them the most, because look, they were very, very good, I thought, in that second half. They wasted very little. They came really into it about in the middle third, and I think there's a lot to be taken out of the last 2 weeks. But you know, I know that in essence you look at the loss and going down to Division 2, but I think Mayo will still have a lot to say in this championship.
I guess from trying to take a positive from this, you're currently involved with a county that took a relegation a few years ago when Kevin McLaughlin kicked over a point. You were on the right side of that one in terms of the sideline that day. But look at Donegal now. They're no less a contender than they were that day, or they were the year before that. You know, a lot of people say it's very, very important, but I just wonder if a county has established itself like Donegal has, as Mayo has, maybe Division 2 doesn't have to be as big a blow as some people suggested.
No, like, look, I think, you know, that there is an element there that Mayo team is a young team. When you look at it and look at what's coming off the bench, there isn't 20, 25 championship games off a vast majority of those guys. Yes, there's sprinklings of Aidan and Lee and Kevin McLaughlin about it, but Dearmouth maybe, but apart from that, and Clarkey, you know, you're on about maybe 10 other guys then, with maybe a handful and some with who are going to make their championship debut. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom in relation to Division 2. I think that'll be for another day in relation to how James prepares for the season ahead. But there'll be good teams in Division 2 next year as well, so it gives you an opportunity to build a bit of momentum, turn it around, and getting yourself back up. But look, it's disappointing in itself, but I wouldn't take away, and I'm sure James Kieran, James Burke, and the rest of the backroom team will be able to take, I think, a lot more positives over the last 2 weeks than the unfortunate negative that is the result here today and relegation.
John, we're going to Newbridge, Portlaoise, Ennis.
Yeah, there's the thing, and look, we don't know what's going to happen with this. With this COVID cracking, whether crowds are going to be allowed into games or not, but certainly the revenue and the coffers will be hit. Like, if this game was open today, you'd probably be talking at least 15,000 at it, probably more. You know, we all know the support Mayo brings to the table, and with that generates a bit of revenue and coffers for which are badly needed for obvious reasons. So it's just not as appealing, you know, welcoming teams like that. The likes of, you know, you want to have Kerry here, you want to have Dublin here, you want to have Tyrone here, Donegal, whoever. So that, from that point of view, it's a little bit disappointing. And players' development is a huge thing as well. I know Roch is saying it's kind of, there's good teams in Division 2, but they're not as good as Division 1 teams, and they're not going to attract. And, you know, you want to play yourself against the best, because when you come into a big championship game, and let's not... Mayo are going to always be mentioned when you're talking about All-Irelands or contesting All-Irelands, which is great, but the players themselves will want to know if they're going into a big game. Like, say they come up against a whoever, a Donegal or a Kerry or a Dublin,
or a Galway or a Roscommon,
who were Division 1. Yeah, they're, you know, it's a bitter one to swallow. The Rossies are up and we're down, so
sorry for bringing that up. I don't know, that was a great way to segue
that's exactly it. So kind of, but yeah, do you want to look at, it's not the be-all and end-all, and it's very disappointing, but it's just generally for the, you know, when you think about all matters considered, the lesser of a crowd combined then with the lack of competition and I suppose the performances against the better teams, you won't be able to judge, and you could be going in cold into a big game.
Mickey Hart has just come up beside us, so we're going to start whispering a little bit, because Mike Finnerty's about to interview him for BBC Radio Ulster, which you will hear that interview on this podcast a little bit later, but we'll just scoot down just a little bit more so we're not talking over him or anything. Stephen, I'm just curious to ask you about a more general point, which is the football in the last couple of weeks that I've seen, Mayo Galway, Mayo Tyrone, high scoring and open. Are there parallels to be drawn, what we see in the Premier League and things like that? Is there something about a lack of a crowd in this kind of environment that might lead to a championship that looks a bit different?
Maybe. I'm sure there'll be somebody doing some studies on that in time to come. I think just what there has been across all divisions, there's just been a lot of good quality. I think the standard that has been lifted over the last 36, 24 months in relation to the teams, there isn't an awful lot between teams at certainly outside the top two or three, than the teams between maybe 4 and 10. There is not a lot, and again, unless you're consistent day in, day out, you know, you can get caught, and you know, Mayo showed that last week in against Galway. Galway showed it to Tyrone. You know, there's a lot. I still think, though, that Division 1, Division 2, I know John would have alluded to, but I think what can be really important for Mayo is now the Championship. I do think, you know, as you were saying there with Roscommon and Galway, both now with Division 1 teams for next year, really important. I think that Mayo probably go and win the Connacht Championship, and I don't think there's any reason to say that they can't, but just to, I suppose, finish out on the league part, I don't think it's not the worst thing that they're going into Division 2, and John alluded, I think we will see a different league next year, and possibly just maybe two groups of four and league semi-final and final, and you know, this time next year you could be talking about John getting back up to Croke Park and all the fancy places where he gets probably good tea and scones and sandwiches. That's what he's
always
missing,
well,
that, is he?
To bring your own lunches, this is crack. It's not suiting me at all, really.
Yeah, you like the Croke Park sandwich, yeah?
Well, I just like getting things handed to me, basically. So it's a bit of a struggle to make your own before you come.
There was a stage there that John was rattling so much tinfoil there, I thought there was actually a crowd in at one stage.
Yeah, that's Dave from the BBC commentary booth. I guess as we wrap this up, because the lads will be getting on the road in a second, I'm just curious about what this says to the Championship. If I gave, and you can come in on this as well, Stephen, but if I gave you a victory over Roscommon, a victory over Galway, a Connacht title, no one's going to be thinking about Division 2, surely, John?
Agreed. And the other thing from a Mayo perspective, I suppose, with the greatest respect to Leitrim, they're going into a game that they're going to probably win anyway. Yeah. So the confidence will not be shook for that game. Compare that to the likes of Tyrone having getting relegated, having to face Donegal, you know, polar opposites really of what both teams are facing. So may all be able to ease back into it again. They'll be, you know, they're going to beat Leitrim. Let's not mask this, or let's say there's a chance of them losing. They're going to beat Leitrim. Then they have to prepare then for their big game against Roscommon. But the games are coming thick and fast now. I wonder, like, we're wondering here the likes of Colin Boyle, and you know, we don't get injuries updates anymore. So Colin Boyle, Keith Higgins, no Rob, we don't know what the story is with them. Yeah, so Killian O'Connor cried off today.
Let's hope he's back quick.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You need everybody. And you know, today was a kind of a humbling experience for the likes of Mark Moran, who shot to fame last week and helped by Pat Splann mention him TikTok, and I suppose in the Sunday game. But yeah, he'll have to, you know, work hard for the week, and it'll be very difficult for the likes of him, you know, from, I won't call it from hero to zero in the space of a week. But, you know, he found out what county football is about today. That was championship pace there. And he got found a little bit wanting, but that's where the management come into it. Kieran Mack, James need to come in now and talk to the likes of him. But conditions today, Rob, were horrendous.
How do we get such a score?
Yeah, that I don't know. I watched Ryan O'Donoghue and Fionn McDonough being called there at half time. The rain, the driving rain was coming down sideways. I said it to Mike there during the commentary. I said, I'd hate nothing more than to be called in that. Like, your team are taking on water and the conditions are horrendous. Like, some people are suited to certain conditions. I don't think they likes it today, but there's rise the problem, Rob. We're playing a winter championship this year. They're the conditions we're going to be playing in.
Interesting. As we wrap this up, Stephen, Nicky's there chatting beside you, and in the same context of what I just asked John about Mayo and how we'll all forget this if they win the Connacht title, Mickey Hart wouldn't mind being relegated if he beat Donegal, and the opposite of that, you know what I'm saying, like the big, big game for Tyrone is next week against you guys.
Absolutely, you know, the way I suppose top level sport is, it's always about the next game anyway, so regardless of what the result is, it's a history question, and you move on to the next game, and for some game
isn't it?
Yeah, it is
it's going to be goal these days,
but we'll be looking to bring our best version of ourselves to Ballyfey next week. But what happened even last week, what happened yesterday, what happened today, we'll count for little apart from I think you saw Tyrone more of themselves today than maybe you saw last week, and that certainly is further evidence, not that we necessarily needed to know, that we're going to be in for a humdinger next week.
Well, listen, Stephen, if we get a chance to see you on the sideline while Mayo are playing, it's an All-Ireland final by my calculation, because I don't think there's any other way, so let's hope that happens.
No, and I ain't playing music either, so I'm not going to be doing halftime or anything like that, so yeah, that'd be okay. I'd take it anyway.
I think we'd all take that.
James, initial reaction?
I'm disappointed to lose the game. Gave ourselves too much to do, I'd say, with the concession, some of the goals. So kept going, but just couldn't get back.
Goals are the killer, I think, where they're
really. Yeah, the goals are the killer. I thought the third goal was particularly, because we were coming strong, and it was a sloppy goal to give away, and that gave them a good holding position, and they managed the game. But you know, we kept going, we kept trying to win it, but just fell short. Unfortunately,
there's a passage here in the first half where the game just kind of slipped away from me. How would you kind of reflect on that?
Our energy starting off wasn't where it could be. Even the first quarter, I thought we could have been 4 or 5 points down. Tyrone missed a few, and then they came in the second quarter again. A few soft balls. Our pressure up front wasn't enough, so they could play the passes they wanted to, and they punished us. But look, we'll take it on the chin, and we'll choose tonight. We have a game to look forward to next Sunday, so we'll move on. Yeah, and look, we're looking for his consistency over the course of the game. So we didn't really get that, but look, there's a lot of good things in today, a lot of good things in last weekend as well. So we're developing a lot of new guys in there, doing a lot of things right. So we'll just try and do a few more things right next weekend.
James, that was your second listen to talk about the 23 years and the Mayo's long running record in Division 1, but is it disappointing that you get relegated, or is the reality that everybody anticipates there will be no Division 2 next year, that you'll be playing in the regional leagues? So
look, it's disappointing as a game, to be honest. I remember playing in many leagues and being involved and managing many leagues, and in the last day we could have been in a semi-final or we could have been relegated, depending on how games go. And you know, you saw with Cavan yesterday. So look, Mayo have been on the edge for a number of years, and it fell the right side. It didn't fall for us today. Look, we put ourselves under pressure with the first number of games in the league. We didn't play well at all. But if you look at the last two games, there's a lot of good stuff in there, so we'll build on that. But going to the Division 2 or whatever league it is next year is not the end of the world whatsoever. It doesn't impact the 2020 championship, that's for sure. So we'll be looking forward to Tuesday night and back on the road.
Just to set the scene for the finish of this week's podcast, myself and Ger were up at the back of the stand in the freezing cold. Here's a few clips from the game that'll just give you an idea of what we were thinking as it evolved. In-game segment of the podcast, just a few days on from all the drama we saw last weekend in Tuam Stadium. It's a win or bust, really. I know the draw technically could help see Mayo survive, but really they have to win.
Absolutely, Rob. Yeah. It's all or nothing here, a situation we're very familiar with, being in McHale Park in the last day of the league. Absolutely all to play for in, like Tuam Stadium last week, an empty and eerie McHale Park, a handful of journalists and media personnel in the stand. What a good game should be. The conditions about half an hour ago were absolutely terrible. Team in rain with a strong wind, but the sun has kind of come out now and it's threatened to be a good day, so should be a good game.
We've reached a water break in the first half. 5 points for Tyrone, Mayo 4 points. I'm kind of glad we took a bit of time just to take this in, because it's a kind of a strange, loose game in comparison to the historic nature of this fixture.
Yeah, incredibly loose. It's. I'm finding it very, very difficult to figure out what kind of shape Tyrone are playing, particularly in the forward line. They just seem to be switching men every time we look down that end. And similar to Mayo, it's just very loose. There's runners coming from everywhere. We saw Tommy Conroy back at his 30-metre line there intercepting a ball a couple of minutes ago. Nine Morgan is coming out to the 45, trying to play in a quarterback role. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's end-to-end. There's good physicality to it. There's a good edge. And one thing I'm finding bizarre, or surprising, not surprising should I say, is how loud and how vocal the Tyrone bench are in egging on their players. They turned over Jim O'Connor just below them there, and you know, it's where they got a score. And if you just compare it to the Mayo bench, there's not a peep out of them. But it's very interesting to hear their communication, and the difference in the two teams' communication.
Get started again. Tyrone have just got a kick out there, and they've travelled a huge distance. They've got inside the Mayo defence, probably fortunately. McKenna with the goal chance, and he has scored. Connor McKenna, it really was sloppy. The kick out travelled 100 metres, really. Mayo should have dealt with it. Came loose to McKenna, who was wide open, and won 5-4 points. Tyrone lead with the wind. Darren Cohn with a point for Mayo, 7 points for Mayo, 2 goals and 9 points for Tyrone. It's been a complete reversal of what we saw last week. We're in first half injury time. How long left in first half?
In the 40th minute now. Rob, and yeah, the game has really run away from us here in the last 10-15 minutes. Two goals have just completely sucker punched Mayo, and there's a massive, massive mountain to climb. And there's only one team playing here, and it's Tyrone. They're absolutely running Mayo asunder. Mayo seem to be all over the place in defence, and now it's a real dangerous position to be in at half time, chasing this eight point deficit.
As you said earlier, all the noise coming from the Tyrone side of the stand, plenty of shouting, plenty of encouragement. Here's Kevin McLaughlin trying to surge through. If Mayo can sneak a point here at the end of the half, it'll be against the run of play, that's for sure. Good work from Aidan O'Shea just to keep that alive, but Mayo are struggling against that wall of defence from Tyrone, which is fantastic. And there is the halftime whistle. I think that encapsulates the whole half there, the way it finished. 2-9 to 7 points. Tyrone are heading for safety, but Mayo have to win in the second half. Wouldn't be unlike Mayo to do something outrageous.
it wouldn't know, but I don't know, is that an 8-point win?
Probably not.
I don't think so. You know, Tyrone are the better team here. Simple lads, they've runners coming from everywhere. You know, Matty Donnelly is running hard, Conor McKenna is causing havoc, Derek Canavan is causing trouble in there in the full forward line, and Mayo just aren't tight enough in the full back line. Every time the long ball comes in from Niall Morgan, they look in danger of getting bet in the one-on-one. There's very little protection when you compare it to Tyrone, who are allowing Mayo win their own kick out but dropping bodies behind the ball, and once they turn them over, then they're breaking a pace, as Tyrone do so well. A lot of stray shouting, but this is an important free here from Darren Cohen. 3-10 to 13 points now. And you have to say, Mayo, in fairness, have played all the football in the second half. They're winning the majority of the kickouts. They're defending well. They're getting the attacks, but just that goal was an absolute sucker punch. You know, it came from, you know, arguably a poor kick-out, but probably a poor recipient. But I think it was Mandy Ruan, and, you know, fell to the worst man on the field in Conor McKenna. But, you know, in fairness, it's back to 6 points now. Another kick-out one here from Mayo. Like, they are dominating Niall Morgan's kick-outs. Well, we're 15 minutes in, water break about to arrive any minute. You know, it's not all over, but there's still a steep mountain to climb.
For Tommy Conroy diving in here. Gerard, that was brilliant.
What a goal, yeah. And just nice patient play up the wing from Mayo. And once Tommy Conroy got the ball, turned inside, left his marker for dead, and a great finish. It was very similar last week to the goal he had against Galway, with a little flick up where he tried to cut inside but just didn't get it off this time. But he made no mistake this time. That's 1-3 from Tommy Conroy now. He's been Mayo's best player by a long way. They're back to one score.
Mayo's Division 1 status, well, they've been living dangerously for quite some time, but as we watch this is it. They need a goal, what must be the last play of the game, and they have the ball outside the 45 and they're just looking to see if someone can get it in field. Fionn McDonagh has it now. Is he going to launch one? Not really an opportunity to do so. Ryan O'Donoghue has had a big impact on the second half, no question about that, and he's now trying to make something happen. Tyrone have a wall around him at the moment, and now he's run into a cul-de-sac. It's down in the corner.
Yeah, it would have been greatest of all escapes.
Yeah,
saying something for Mayo, but
from 9 points. Oh, well, at one point I think it was as much as 8 at one point.
It's very hard to see them getting that goal they need now. 43 minutes gone in the second half. By the body language of the Mayo players.
Okay, Tyrone.
That's it.
Tyrone are safe. Mayo are relegated. The one time during this COVID era where McHale Park sounds exactly like it would have sounded had there been a crowd here, silence. And it's a lot of disappointment. And, you know, I guess the only point is, coming into this two-week game plan, it was always going to be tough for Mayo. We'll talk a little bit more about the wider implications of relegation, but just your kind of summary of this defeat. 119, that's a big score to get, not to win.
It is a big score to get, but, you know, you have to look back at the concession and the goals, particularly that third goal from Conor McKenna. Came at a time when Mayo were completely on top in the second half, dominating the football, and they dominated the whole second half really, but just that lapse of concentration for that third goal from Conor McKenna, and, you know, that was a massive mountain to climb after that. And I mean, you're conceding three goals, it's going to be incredibly hard to beat a team like Tyrone, who, you know, defend in numbers, very, very hard to break down. And other than that Mayo goal, that Tommy Conroy got, they just didn't seem like threatening Niall Morgan's goal too much.
Brilliant from Jur. There's a couple of things to finish this podcast. I'm going to bring in myself and Mike will round it off. Jur is about to go from us. Jur, I just been saying to myself that Killian O'Connor was such a key loss compared to what Mayo did last week. I felt it was the O'Connor or O'Shea axis that we've known for years as an attacking threat is so good, that made the difference against Galway. And you wanted for Killian O'Connor at times, especially in the first half.
Well, I think O'Connor brings a presence like O'Shea does. So what we saw last year, when you have Killian and you have Aidan inside the full forward line, they're going to be two players that the opposition defence are going to be focused primarily on. So if you had Killian playing off Aidan again, the Tyrone players wouldn't have had the the possibilities or the capabilities to swarm O'Shea as much as they could and put so much focus on O'Shea, because Killian would be there and thereabouts. That was a huge, huge loss. We saw last week as well, he linked play when he drifted out to the 45-metre line. I thought he linked play really well into O'Shea in the full forward line. I think there was a lack of decent ball, particularly high ball, high diagonal ball, that a couple that Killian played last week. There was a lack of that today. No one seemed willing to take it on. I was going to say, I don't think miss him on the freeze that much. Gira got a couple of nice ones, you know, wasn't a day for the freeze, but he has that ability to break a line too, win a free at a crucial stage. Just the awareness and the cuteness and all the experience that he brings, you know, could he have made a difference today? He could have, it's so hard to know. You know, Tommy Conroy returned 1-3 from corner forward. Would Tommy have got that if Killian was in? Probably not. Would Killian have got 1-3 if he was in? I don't know. It's hard to know, but...
Yeah, when you score 119, it seems funny to be lamenting the loss of a forward, but I just wonder in that first half if that was a key factor. And before you go, just to look at some of the other key factors, I was interested, just some of the conversations we had afterwards, right? So Mark Moran will talk about the fact that, it's a totally different story this week. John has mentioned that already in the podcast, and that's so true. And as John said, you know, this is a learning curve, and it is. But that's where you go to a Fionn McDonagh or a Ryan O'Donoghue, who have at times had their bad days as well. But what's really interesting about it is, over time, they become more established. And I thought both of those players came into the game and made an impact in a way that gives you confidence that Mark Moran can follow that path, and others as well.
Yeah, look, it just wasn't a game for Mark today. He's only 19 years old, first year playing inter-county football, second game at senior level for Mayo. He's not going to be at the physical levels of some of his teammates. He's going to be nowhere near the physical levels of the Tyrone team. And he just got lost, but like you did, going back to impact, you know, Ryan O'Donoghue made an unbelievable impact today. Mm. Won an almighty amount of ball, floated around really well, delivered a couple of lovely balls inside to the half forward line, won dirty ball as well. And you know, he's not the biggest man in the world, but he's well able to take a hit. He has a bit of an edge to him, has a bit of physicality. And Fionn, who played poorly against Galway last week and probably caused him the starting position today, also made an impact, won a couple of frees, you know, got on the ball and got running and you know, did what Fionn's game is, and that's those long runs, the Lincoln plays, the winning the kick out. So, you know, definitely a massive improvement from Fionn from last week. And you know, it's an impact. You go back to some of the younger players as well. You know, Mullen had another good game today. Owen McLaughlin did very well, got an unbelievable point in the first half. As I previously mentioned, Tommy Conroy won 3. There's so many positives you can take from Mayo, and you can take from a learning perspective for these young players. But you know, overhanging it all is obviously the relegation to the Division 2 now, which is kind of just a bit of a cloud over everything.
I feel for people of, as Ger leaves us, Mike, I fear for people of his generation who have never looked down the newspaper to Division 2 before in their lives. Good luck, Ger.
See you, lads.
They're going to have to scroll down the newspaper. It's going to be tough. You're going to take some video. Check out Ger's videos on our Facebook page.
Do, yeah. I can't wait to go home and talk to all the lads about what it's going to be like now to Division 2. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird, lads. You know, I didn't have the pleasure of going out to Kilkenny and covering a match ever. I don't think I ever will either, Mike, but...
Well, Division 2 this year, who knows which way it's going?
Like, that's real experience.
Yeah, if we're going to Kilkenny covering league matches, lads, I think we're...
Corners will have been turned.
Well, yes, let's just say it'll be a new chapter. But
thanks, Ger.
Must just flag up Rob, a friend of the podcast and occasional Mayo News contributor, Cormac O'Malley, has been busy in the last 15-20 minutes. I wonder, does that man ever switch off? He has calculated that since 2010... Mayo have played 38 games in the league here in Castlebar. They've won 16, they've lost 20, and they've drawn 2. I think the point Cormac is making, as a storm yet to be named hits the stand here in Castlebar, is that Mayo's home record in Castlebar in the league in the last 10 years is not good. In fact, it's extremely poor. But if I could just, while I'm on this train of thought, just to finish up at the moment, it's going to be a very quick week for Mayo now. You know, they're playing Leitrim in the championship. You'll get the response. This isn't obviously a cause for huge panic or anything, but the drawing board will be taken out now again by James Horan and the management team. I mean, they got to go back now and look at the drawing board, because if you go back to Billy Joe Padden's column of a few weeks ago, and he made the point that there was such a short run into the beginning of the championship, that James Horan needed to commit to his team and his 26 in order to be ready for championship. And I think that's a theory we all subscribe to. Now all of a sudden you have issues with your kick out. You have Kevin McLaughlin tried out at 6. It didn't go particularly well for Kevin. Aidan O'Shea spent the day at full forward when Mayo leaked and took in a lot of water around the middle of the field, particularly in the first three quarters of the game. And you've Killian O'Connor not in the 26 today, and we're not entirely sure why. So the drawing board will certainly be taken out for another look now. Maybe it won't be panic stations for Leitrim, but the Rossies will have looked at this game today and will surely feel, we see vulnerabilities here now in this Mayo team. We see areas where we can hurt them. Tyrone pressed. They went after David Clark's kick out from the very first minute today. This won't go away. Rob Henley not in the 26 again, second week in a row. Is Rory Byrne now a live option to start a championship game next weekend? Will James Horan go with David Clark again? If so, we need to sort out the kickouts. There needs to be a workable plan B if a team presses up. Can we afford to leave Aidan O'Shea full forward for an entire game? These are all questions. Ooh. Tom Parsons not in the 26 today either. It's very difficult to find out exactly who's where at the minute as well. We're not having the pleasure of weekly bulletins to tell us what's what. So we just have to roll with it and we have to see what happens. But
there are many
questions as answers, I think, really, Rob, is my point.
I like that. That's like being in the editor's meeting for the Mayo News Sports section this week, because Mike has realised all the questions he's going to try to answer across to all the pages. And knowing good work you all do in there, I'm sure you'll manage it.
Oh, yeah. As regular listeners to the podcast and readers of the newspaper know, we'll ask the questions all right. And hopefully we'll all like the answers. But if today taught us anything, it's that the young players, Oisín Mullen, Owen McLaughlin, Mark Moran, Paul Towey, guys like this, they need as much football at this level as they can get, because they will get an almighty rattle from the Rossies in 2 weeks' time. But look, as I said, the overwhelming sense right now is of disappointment, because you can dress it up any way you want, but Mayo have gone to Division 2. And I think you made a good point. Mayo, that didn't happen today. That happened 7-8 months ago. You know, the game against Kerry here stands out. Mayo really should have got something from that game.
Monaghan played us off the park.
Yeah, the Monaghan game. The Dublin game obviously didn't go to plan either. So, there have been slippages here and there that have all accumulated to this situation. And let's be honest, Mayo did wriggle off the hook a few times in the last few years. They left it very close. They were sailing very close to the wind a few times in terms of going to Division 2, and now it's actually happened. In the long term, will it affect the development of this squad? Time will tell. It may not be the worst thing in the world to get off Broadway, as it were, for maybe a season and let some of the younger players develop without this huge national media spotlight on them every single week. And if you're looking for positives, Tommy Conroy, to me, was the big positive. Owen McLaughlin, maybe to a slightly lesser degree, but Tommy Conroy, in the absence of Killian O'Connor in the full forward line, and with Aidan O'Shea just not getting a great run of things from Ronan McNamee, Conroy stepped up, and his pace was a real problem for Tyrone. He took his goal brilliantly as well. So Tommy Conroy's made really good use, I think, of the last two league games.
Sure, he's only down the road from myself and yourself in the Neil. Can we finish on this, right? Last point. I'm going to press your emotional buttons. Before I do that, let me tell you this, folks. We have an extra podcast this week. Woohoo! I hear you all say, yes, a championship preview podcast. More on that on our social media feeds, and to tell you what it's all about. You can expect that in your inbox around Thursday, I would suggest.
Look, credit where it's due as well. I have to say, we've been extremely well looked after again today. Mayo GA have run a very good show, you know, generally throughout the club championship. And again today, all the COVID-19 protocols and guidelines have been adhered to. You know, we couldn't have asked for any more in terms of media access or PowerPoints or Wi-Fis or whatever we needed, we got. But we're not going to forget this National League campaign for a lot of reasons, Rob. And the same goes for championship. But as you say, let's hope Mayo can get on a bit of a run. We don't have the safety net of the back door. And let's hope we get a few more weeks at least of enjoyment.